If you could have a superpower, what would it be? After talking with today's guest, Dr. Giancarlo Licata, I think I want my superpower to be sleep. Welcome to the LD Expert Podcast, your place for answers and solutions for learning differences, dyslexia, and auditory and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers, and author of the new Amazon number one bestseller, Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, a must-have guide to understanding, supporting, and correcting dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. We have a fascinating show for you today. You are going to learn some surprising reasons why sleep is so important and how to get more and better sleep. Our guest today is Dr. Giancarlo Licata. Dr. Licata is the founder of Vital Brain Training, Vital Head and Spinal Care, and the co-founder of Pasadena Interpersonal Community. His focus is on applied neuroscience, chronic pain, and interprofessional collaboration. He is a member of the International Association of Applied Neuroscience, the National Upper Cervical Chiropractic Association, Council on Upper Cervical Care, and the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine. Vital Head and Spinal Care is a brain-based health practice in Pasadena, California, focusing on brain-based tools to improve pain and performance. Established in 2008, Vital has helped over 2,000 clients, including professional athletes from the NFL, MLB, and the NCAA. Dr. Licata and Vital have been featured on PBS, ABC, WebMD, and now LD Expert Live. Welcome, Dr. Licata.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I'm excited to be here.
Good morning. Hey, I was fascinated when we talked earlier about sleep. Do you think one of the positive outcomes of this stay-at-home time might be that people are getting more sleep?
It could be. It could be. I hope so. I think we have more time available to sleep. And so I think if we can structure it right, yes, it'll be great. Otherwise, we just binge watch all night long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is that. But I was thinking about the fact that people, you know, don't have to get up and rush it to beat the traffic or, you know, whatever. So, right. Well, there was a study by the CDC in 2016 that said that more than a third of American adults are not getting enough sleep on a regular basis. And a study presented at the American Academy of Pediatrics last year indicated that 52% of children ages 6 to 17 get less than the recommended 9 hours of sleep. So we are kind of a sleep-deprived society, and that seems like a really big problem. Right. How does that impact functioning and learning?
Right. I mean, it's a problem because it's so prevalent, you know, but it's also a problem because it's so vital. It's so necessary for so many things. And so we're going to dive into some of the deeper reasons as to what sleep does, how it affects us, how it either becomes our superpower and helps our learning or our children learn and recover and be more emotionally regulated, or how it's actually hindering them over and over and over again, and how parents are spending all of this money for support and for and they're reading articles on what to do when there's something that's free, there's something that's probably more powerful than anything any single thing that they could do, and it's available to them just tonight. So hopefully we can go into that and we can empower all the parents to you know help their kids learn more.
Wow, that sounds amazing. When we were talking, you had said that to really understand sleep, we kind of need to understand some of the definitions. Yeah. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, we're going to go, and if that's okay, Jill, one of the things that I want to do is establish how powerful sleep is first, if you're okay with that. And then we'll go right into the definitions. Because I don't think that moms, and especially moms, but us dads too, we lag behind. If when our child is getting up in the morning or our child is in school and they can't pay attention and they're sitting at their desk tapping their feet, or the teachers are complaining and writing home saying that, you know, Johnny isn't able to pay attention in class or he's disturbing his classmates, we would never even begin to think that that maybe it was the previous night's sleep that was starting to dysregulate him to begin with, right? Or if you know, our daughter is having a hard time learning and she has to study for a big test and she's pulling all-nighters for, you know, every day for the last 5 days as she's preparing for this final exam, we wouldn't even begin to think that she's been sabotaging herself every day leading up to this exam, and that her brain is actually less able to learn, retain, and then recall information, right? So these are things that sleep is going to be able to help our children. And so that's where I want to kind of really, you know, I want parents to know that I have three kids. And for me, when we started to regulate their sleep and kind of put some boundaries, we saw changes all over the place. So that's the first thing. And then Jill, yes, absolutely. So when we think of sleep, I talk to parents often, and they're often telling me, I think my child is getting good sleep, or my son had really bad sleep yesterday. And so when I ask them, well, what does that mean? They're kind of giving me this big glob answer. They say, well, he woke up really tired and cranky, or they say, well, he slept 8 hours, but that meant that he was in his room for 8 hours, but they don't know what that really meant, you know? So, we can go into what I call the horizontal definitions of sleep, and then also the vertical definitions of sleep. And we can dive into that if that's something you'd like to do.
Great. Sounds great. Just, okay. You know, it's so fascinating to me. I mean, we all do it. We all sleep. So, and if it can really impact so much of our daily lives, I mean, it's fascinating to me to know as much as possible. And for our parents, you know, that's a huge point, that they have this thing that they can do right now for free every day to support their child's learning and memory and attention.
Right. It's like it's the catalyst of every other therapy or treatment they're going to do. It's the enzyme. It's the thing that's going to make everything better. Or it's going to be the thing that hinders everything else that they do, right? So it often won't replace, you know, whether whether you know there's still clients or whether there's other educational therapists or other tutors. It may not replace them, but what it's going to do is just make their capacity to help your child that much more effective, right? So yes, it's huge.
Right.
So yeah, so I'm going to, if that's okay, I'm going to go into, so most of the times that we think about sleep, we're going to think of it like a timeline, and we're going to say, well, Johnny got 8 hours of sleep, right? Well, if it's recommended 9, then that's simple. That's Johnny didn't get enough sleep last night. And we know that's going to hinder him in many ways. But until we start to understand what are the nuances of that, those 8 hours or those 9 hours, we won't be able to go into why each thing is so powerful. So, okay. So, when did Johnny go to sleep? Did Johnny get 8 hours by falling asleep at 12 midnight and waking up at 8? Was that good or bad for Johnny? He still got 8 hours, right? Or what if he fell asleep at 7 p.m. and he woke up at 3 in the morning, right? Is that good or bad? He got 8 hours. And so, one of the things that we know is that what time we go to sleep may matter, and that that for some children, going to bed earlier is going to be really important, and for other children, going to bed later is going to be really important. And if we don't understand and honor how our children's genetic makeup is, those 8 hours are not going to be created equal for them. So there's a wonderful neuroscientist out of Salk Institute down in La Jolla, California, and his name is Sachin Panda, and he wrote a book called The Circadian Code, and it has many, many things that are brilliant, but one of the things that he really emphasized was that every person, every human being has a DNA predisposition to be either what we call night owls or morning larks, or somewhere in between. And so I usually tell parents, you know, if you can kind of first identify what is your child's natural cycle, where do they tend to fall asleep? When do they tend to wake up in the morning? If we don't understand that there's a genetic wiring that's going to predispose them to be one or the other, we may oftentimes be hindering them, trying to get them to wake up because we wake up early. And if Johnny is a night owl, his 8 hours or his 9 hours may be ideal starting from 11 p.m. to maybe 7 or 8 a.m. That may be Johnny's ideal sleep window. So what I want to do is first, you know, where is that window? Where is that window for Johnny? And Johnny's window may be different from Mary's window. And so so I really want to kind of go into that. And Jill, you mentioned last time when we spoke a few days ago that was a big insight even for you about raising your children back in that you realized that your daughters they had a different window. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. I am absolutely a morning person. And if I don't get my work done early in the morning, you know, by evening, it's like my brain is fried. But my daughter, who actually works with us now, she has always been a night owl. And so, you know, she would be doing homework at 2 a.m. sometimes. And even now, she does a lot of her work late at night. And I can't even get my mind around that. But
right now, and that's huge. And so now, you know, oftentimes what you asked is this better during this time, during the COVID shelter at home period? Is this better for some of us for our sleep? I would say for some of us night owls, it may be. Mm-hmm. For some of us night owls who really struggle getting up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. and then have to be in school or commute to school. And then they have to kind of, their brain is still trying to wake up and they're having to be bright and chipper right at 8 a.m. That's going to really affect them. Their brain is not quite ready yet. That's not their window. So that's a big one. So first thing is kind of contextualizing this whole conversation will be, when is our child's natural window? Right. The second thing is going to be when we think about sleep, we're going to think about how quickly did somebody fall asleep? We'll call that sleep onset. How many times did they wake up in the middle of their sleep? We'll call that, let's say, just duration or how many interruptions there were. And then we're going to say, you know, what time did they tend to wake up? Right. And what was the total length of that time? And so now we start to see that some people have challenges falling asleep. And so they may sleep 8 hours or 9 hours, but they had to go to bed. They had to lay in bed for maybe 10 or maybe 11 hours. Their sleep onset was disrupted. And that's a different challenge. And that's something that we want to help parents with if our kids just can't wind down. There's also the children that are waking up, you know, 3, 4, 5, 30 times a night. We have a client, a training client now who we track his sleep data and we'll go into that. But he the other night, a few weeks ago, he woke up 34 times. Now, he didn't even remember that he was waking up, but we can see the interruptions throughout the night. And so, of course, he's waking up and he's groggy, he's irritable, he's moody. And that definitely has not been helping all the other things that his mother's trying to help him with. So, and then, of course, there's duration. Does somebody, you know, sleep for 8 hours, 9 hours, or some of our kids sleeping for 5, right? So that gives us a framework to understand sleep, but then we'll go deeper.
When you talked about that, you know, really understanding your child's ideal window for sleep, right now during this time where we're all at home, that's a little bit maybe easier when you have to do school if you can let them sleep in and then just get up when they're ready and do school. And during school time, though, that isn't quite as easy. And I was thinking, well, you know, as a parent, if you understand that, then you have your child get everything ready the night before because they're going to stay up a little bit later. And then they're going to get up, roll out of bed, throw on some clothes and go to school without having to do, well, breakfast. But, you know, not having to do a lot. Yeah.
Right. Right. You know, for a lot of us now, the challenge parents have is creating some structure. With school, there's too much structure. They can't work around that structure. Mm-hmm. But now, yes, I think that what I've seen is having parents set a schedule for their children on a weekly basis. They're going to, you know, I've seen some parents say, look, we now know, Johnny, that you tend to be a night owl. Well, let's have you try going to sleep at 11 and then let's have you wake up at any time. Let's just give you that freedom to wake up when you wake up. Right. Now, what's amazing about sleep is that Johnny, if he's sleep deprived, he may wake up at, you know, noon. He may wake up at 1 p.m. Who knows? But at some point, once he started filling that up, his normal circadian rhythm, his normal cycles will start to reemerge again. And he will start to wake up at a very predictable time. And it almost guaranteed won't be 11. It may be 8. It may be 9. And so by setting at least a kind of a preliminary beginning point for the night owls, and letting them kind of find where they're going to land for the waking time, that becomes a very practical tool. And so the parents don't have to battle with their kids because, you know, we don't need one more thing to battle with. I have 3 kids. I know what that's like. But at some point, there's a little bit of structure which says, look, we don't have structure right now. Everything is a little bit turned upside down, but this is our weekly schedule. This is what we do. And we can tweak it a little bit, you know, plus or minus an hour. But let's work with this. And that becomes very powerful. I mean, that alone could oftentimes change things, because then Johnny feels like he has a little bit of freedom. He gets to have his little bit of night owlness, and it becomes really helpful.
And he feels a little more understood. I think there are a couple of really important things here. One is that just because someone sleeps in, it doesn't mean they're lazy. And, you know, honestly, as a morning person, it is a little tough for me to see people sleeping in really late. That doesn't fit my thinking exactly. But so then the other thing is education, because you could have a night owl and a morning lark in the same family in your children. And so one child really needs a bedtime of 8:30 and the other one needs a later bedtime. Mm-hmm. And that isn't dependent on age really. And so that's a shift for parents and for kids to think, well, that's not fair. He gets to stay up later. So, you know, we really need to do a little education around that.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot to navigate with that, of course. And that's, you know, and that's where it presents its own new challenges. But I still think they're worthy of trying to work out, because that way you don't, the fruit of that, it becomes so helpful. So, yes, if you have more than one child, you have different sleep times. Yeah. One of my daughters, Gianna, she's a night owl. And she will not wake up for at least an hour or two after the whole family is up. And we just have to honor that. And we all have to be quiet. We all have to, you know, be outside or do other things and allow her to have that. And when she does, we gift her that hour, right? How much is that 1 hour? Her brain is just so ready for the day. She's so thankful. She's emotionally regulated. She's more patient with her brothers and sisters. Like, it's just, it's so valuable, right? Like, so when I think of the investment of that 1 hour, it's so worth it, you know? So try it out for the parents. Yep. I think it's big.
Wow. I love the way you talked about that, about honoring that. And then how her brain is just ready for the day. That is a huge learning for many, many parents and teachers, I think. Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us, I'm Jill Stoll, founder of Stoll Learning Centers. My guest today is Dr. Giancarlo Licata, founder of Vital Head and Spinal Care. We are talking about sleep and why it is so critical to our kids' learning and all of our well-being. So, I know you have a lot of other things to talk about with sleep, so I'll give it back to you.
Okay.
Because I interrupted you.
No. This is great. So I'm going to go now into the vertical. Let's call this the qualitative, the quality of sleep. We've just talked about the quantity. We just talked about how much and when and how. Now we're going to talk about the quality, because this is really valuable. And this is where I start to geek out, right? Our brain cycles through different stages of sleep. And now, depending on the nationals or international associations, they'll break that up into five cycles or six cycles. I'm going to bring up one of them. I'm going to look it up so that I don't get it wrong. Let me pull that up here. But it's from the American Association for Sleep Medicine. It breaks up our sleep into five stages. And listen to this, because it's going to matter when I start giving you some tips. Okay, so they break it up into five stages, and they call it stage W, N1, N2, N3, and R. Now, what does that mean? It's basically wakefulness. They've defined as a stage of sleep, being awake. Then there's relaxed wakefulness, and they call that N1. And then there's light sleep, and then there's deep sleep, and then there's REM sleep. So again, stage W is wakefulness. Stage N1, which means N is for non-REM. They're very original. So non-REM 1 is relaxed awake. That's that kind of twilighty feeling just before we're ready to fall asleep. That's N1. N2, non-REM sleep, stage 2 is what we call light sleep. A lot of us and many of our children are spending maybe too much of our time in light sleep, though it has a purpose. Then there's stage N3, or non-REM sleep, stage 3. And that is what we call deep sleep or slow wave sleep. And that is going to be very profound, especially for a lot of learning and growth. And then there's going to be stage R, which very originally is for REM sleep or rapid eye movement sleep, or for the rest of us, dreaming. It's when we dream. So we go through these five stages. And what's fascinating is that in every 8-hour period of time, every night, our brain is going through each of the five stages about five times, with the exception of wakefulness. I'm going to take that back. We'll go through four of them, right? Four stages, five times a night. And that is going to be very powerful when we start going deeper and deeper into this.
So you talked a little bit about deep sleep being really important for learning. Well, and I suppose you're going to talk to us a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking right away, I think, okay, well, how do I make sure my kid gets enough deep sleep?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So some of us have started hearing about deep sleep. So I'm going to use an example. I'm going to use an example of a big test. Right. And so let's say this test is on Wednesday. And what's fascinating is that if we don't have good sleep on Tuesday night, right, on Tuesday night, what our brain is going to be doing is it's going to be cleaning out all of the previous knowledge that has been stored in the brain, all of our short-term memory from what we learned in school on Tuesday. Our brain has a temporary storage, and it's like our USB stick for some of us. Johnny learned, you know, went to school, learned a lot of information on Tuesday, and now he needs to study for a big test on Wednesday. On Tuesday night, he needs to, when he goes to sleep, that kind of superficial sleep, or what we call N1 sleep, or excuse me, N2 sleep, that light sleep, his brain is starting to filter out what information is worth keeping. Uh-huh. And what information is just extraneous, what don't we need? And then when he cycles into deep sleep, the brain begins to deepen that knowledge. It begins to hardwire. It literally starts creating, neurons start firing over and over again until they begin to start to pattern themselves. And there's a saying that neurons or the cells of the brain, neurons that fire together, wire together. And mm-hmm. so they start reinforcing that information. And then it's in REM sleep that that Johnny starts then to incorporate all of that knowledge into the rest of his knowledge base. It's where he really turns that short-term memory into long-term memory. It's where he basically uploads the USB stick, and now that all that data is now in the rest of the computer. And so his brain creates new connections and starts thinking through things. And it's when he's dreaming that he's processing what he learned on Tuesday. So, and then he's gone through that five times or so, at least, hopefully, as he's sleeping through the night, so that when Wednesday comes and he was able to wake up and had enough of his rest, his brain now can recall when he's sitting at the desk and he's got his pencil in hand and he's filling out the little bubbles. He's now able to recall that information. He's able to make connections. And when they ask those trick questions, he's able, oh, I got that. I know that because of all the stages that he went through. Right. So now, which one should he not have? Right. Which one is not valuable? Right. What's fascinating is they all are.
Right. Right. Wow. That was a great picture. We always, you know, in most cases, short, frequent times of study are better than one cramming session. And in a sense, that's kind of what the brain is doing every night while you're asleep. Yeah. It's, you know, getting rid of the stuff you don't need. And then several times a night, actually processing that information. So, wow, that's right. Really cool.
It's really cool. I know. And so That's why I love that's this wonderful synergistic relationship that us, you know, applied brain people have with educators and learning specialists like yourselves. We get to understand the inner workings of the brain, and then we get to share that, and then you get to use that information, and you say, well, of course, that makes sense why what we've been doing for the last 10 years has been working. Great, right? Or let me modify what we're doing and make it even better based on the new data that's coming out, right? So So it's a fascinating realm, and it's changing every single day.
We've been talking about sleep, but Dr. Licata, there are so many other things that you do. I know at Stoll Learning Center, we're partnering with Dr. Licata and Vital to provide brain training for ADHD. And I know you work with concussion and headaches and many other things. If someone wanted to learn more or get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, we would encourage them to just go straight to our website. It's four words: vital, head, and spine. And I think there, you can start learning about what we do and who we help the most and who we don't. We really are focused on certain types of clients, but that would be the best bet. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, so you can try us there at Vital Head and Spine. But I'd say the website. Start there.
Perfect. And any last minute thoughts for us today?
No, I think what you're doing is a phenomenal resource for parents across the country and across the world. And so sleep will be such a powerful, it will be your superpower. Put it to use, let everyone know. And I think you will share more resources and answers. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. This was really, really fascinating.
Fantastic.
And by the way, I claimed sleep as my superpower, so I don't know if I want to share or not.
It's like love. It's free. The more you give, the more you have, right?
So That's right.
Yeah, but I think the world will be a better place if we all slept a little bit more. Let's try it.
I agree. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.